Don't Mess With Major Tom. That is Ashes to Ashes from David Bowie right across Australia. You are listening to ABC Local Radio. Mark Fennell is my name. And how much do you know about lizards? In particular, the tree skink. New research at Macquarie University suggests that tree skinks can learn complex tasks, and that is regardless of whether or not they grew up alone or in a group. Julia Riley is from the Department of Biological Sciences at Macquarie University, and she joins us now. Thanks for joining us, Julia.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Mark.
The pleasure is entirely mine. Now, I've said this a few times earlier in the show, but my relationship with lizards is largely based on not wanting to step on them. But so what was it about skinks that made you so interested that you wanted to research them?
Well, I think we all have to be careful not to step on skinks. But one of the really interesting things about lizards and other reptiles is that most people won't know this, but they're social. They live in family groups some of the time. And so that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to study them, to figure out why they're living in family groups and what are the impacts of them being social on their lives.
This is going to sound like an odd question, but once we know this about skinks, what do we do with that information?
It's a great question. So it's not an odd question at all. So I think it's really important that we know that reptiles are social. This is something that's new in research about for the last 10 years. We're starting to realize that reptiles are more and more social. And this is really important for their survival, just generally out in the wilderness. And then what affects them on their day-to-day lives. And another really sad fact, actually, about reptiles is that generally they're at risk. A lot of them are endangered or vulnerable or threatened. And one of the things we need to consider in their conservation is their social system. And this is something brand new that we're just realizing now.
What happens to the ecosystem in a scenario where we lose massive amounts of skinks? What sort of changes that we're aware of?
So skinks have a large role in the natural ecosystem. They're huge predators of insects, which no one really likes, having a lot of them around their houses.
That is true.
And so they just have a major role to play in natural ecosystems as a part of that food chain and just keeping everything flowing naturally.
So once we know that they're social, can that aid in, say, repopulation or moving them into different ecosystems once we know that information?
Yes, but it can also be quite a challenge because we need to know how being raised in a social environment for a reptile affects their behavior and how it, in turn, affects their survival in new habitats. For example, if you took a skink and you removed it from its social group, so from its mother and its father at a young age, or its siblings, how does that affect its behavior? Is that going to impact its survival later on if you release it into a new environment? These are questions that we need to start asking about reptiles and trying to get answers to, because we know in mammals and birds, if you take a young chimpanzee from its mother and try to raise it in an environment without that social group, it can cause a lot of problems.
And we don't necessarily see that with lizards. One of the interesting things that you have said in your research is that skinks can learn very complex tasks. Now, just put that on a scale for me, from like not being able to do anything to making me a three-course meal. Where would the skink sit?
A complex task is subjective for, you know, what it's being tested on. But I think
hesitation in your voice suggesting that I'm not going to get a three-course skink meal.
Unfortunately, a skink's not going to prepare you a three-course meal. I know, I would like a skink chef myself.
There's a real question, like, what would a skink chef even make? Like, be like, insect a l'orange. Never mind.
Probably something with beetles and nectar, I don't know.
There's a market for that, I'm sure. I'm sure Noma or some fancy chef is working on it. Heston Blumenthal's probably making it as we speak. Anyway, I interrupted you. Yeah. Carry on.
But in our study, I was quite shocked. So one thing you have to ask about an animal is you want to give them a task they're motivated to do, so something that they actually want to do and would benefit them. So we tried to, in our lab, we tried to think about a task that a lizard would have to do in the wild. So these skinks, they climb around on rocks and go from crevices in the rocks to another crevice in the rocks. So we know that they have to climb and they have to kind of navigate a vertical maze in the wild. And so that's what we tried to replicate in the lab. We gave them a set of 5 ladders climbing up a wall, and they had to learn the correct path. So some of these ladders were blocked, And they had to learn which ones were the ladders they could climb. And then at the end, they got a food reward. So
you're basically doing Ninja Warrior for skinks.
Yeah, or Mission Impossible, either one.
There you go. And what did you find?
So what we found, which was really surprising, is we compared whether or not skinks that were raised alone or skinks that were raised in a social group, how could they learn this task? And actually, skinks across both of those treatments learned the task equally. So I was shocked because in mammals and birds, we know that being raised alone really impairs their learning ability. They can't learn as well. But these skinks seemed fine with it, and that was a really interesting result.
Right. So I just want to track back a little bit here. Where did this I was going to say the skink love. That sounds wrong. Where did the interest in skinks begin for you personally?
First of all, I've always really been interested in scaly things, to the dismay of my parents. And so growing up, I was just always catching snakes and turtles and lizards. And so once I started to hear more and more about how reptiles were social, I was shocked myself. I was like, this is very fascinating. How does this benefit these lizards? And it also kind of makes us think about these lizards aren't just something that are running around our backyards that we have to avoid being stepping on them. Maybe if you stepped on one, you'd be stepping on a skink's mother. What does that mean for that skink? And so I think that it's just kind of a little doorway into the secret world of these animals' lives that I just find so fascinating.
You have to have a lot of empathy in this particular line of work, don't you? To sort of put yourself in the shoes of an animal, to sort of think about the social structure of it, don't you?
Yeah, it's really hard to think like a skink, actually, but I try.
That, by the way, is the quote of this show. It's hard to think like a skink. We've done 3 hours of radio. You just want it.
That's the great news.
So you were saying it's hard to think like a skink.
It is hard. I mean, we're human, so we think about things from our perspective most of the time. So it's hard to imagine what life would be like from a reptilian point of view. But yeah, you just kind of have to be a bit imaginative, and that's the part of science that people don't know a lot about. You kind of have to think creatively and try to figure out what would be motivating for these skinks and observe their behavior and try to explain things from their perspective. But it is a bit of guesswork, and then with data, we can kind of back it up and try and make hypotheses and predictions about these things. Yeah.
In terms of other reptiles, what's probably the closest relative to a skink?
Well, snakes are very closely related. So any other lizard is obviously closely related to skinks. And then skinks and lizards and snakes are very closely related.
Right. And are there ways you can take this learning, the learnings you've had here about skinks and sort of test them on other animals as well?
Yes, exactly. So in our lab, we are trying to figure out how learning affects different types of these social skinks. So we're testing different learning tasks on a different species of social skinks in this group called Agernia, mm-hmm. which is special in Australia because we know that they vary from being really, really social to actually quite solitary. So like the blue tongue skink that a lot of people might see in their backyards here in Sydney is actually quite solitary, whereas my lizard, the tree skink, lives in these family groups probably over the long term. And so that's a nice contrast there, but we also are trying to figure out how other animals, other reptiles learn as well.
Excellent. Right now we are talking to Julia Riley, who is an expert in Australian tree skinks. And just right now, I would like to say a very big welcome back to our Western Australian listeners who've rejoined us. I hope you enjoyed the cricket. You are listening to Julia Riley, who's an expert in Australian tree skinks. And we're talking a little bit about what makes them so special. Apparently, they have an incredibly complex inner and social world that we didn't know, which is fascinating. But I also want to know why sometimes lizards' tongues are blue. How does that happen, Julia?
That's a great question, and there's many hypotheses about that, and actually we're studying that in our lab right now, so maybe in the future we'll get a really good answer for that. But what we think is that these lizards, like a blue-tongued skink or a shingleback, they have these blue tongues, and then they use them in a predator display.
Excellent.
So if a predator comes and swoops down on them like a kookaburra, they'll expose that tongue, and it's supposed to be very frightening to predators, and maybe the predator will back off.
Julia Riley, this has been fascinating. Thank you so much for your time.
I'm so happy to be here and talk to you, Mark.
Julia Riley is an expert on Australian tree skinks. A big welcome back, like I said earlier, to our Western Australian listeners. I should probably say my name. I'm Mark Fennell. I'm going to be keeping you company for a little bit longer. If you had an interesting encounter with a skink, do let us know. 1-300-222-702. You can also text us as well. 0467 922 702.